All right, a new series, The Kingdom of God, and it is in Luke chapter 4. I have been looking forward to preaching about Jesus for a little while, and so this fall we are going to focus on the message of the kingdom of God, and there are some that just say no, and so we're going to take a look at that today, Gospel of Luke chapter 4. Bring a Bible to the church if you would. It will help you. It'll just, Lisa says, have you seen my Bible? Have you seen my Bible? I said, nope, I don't know where your Bible is. But I said, you know what? I almost never lose my Bible because I take it with me everywhere I go. And that way, whenever I don't got it, I start looking for it immediately. And it is not a bad habit to be in. Can I get a witness on that? All right. We're talking about Jesus being rejected in his hometown of Nazareth. Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verse 14 through 30. And I will read that to you. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. And he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, to release the oppressed, the recovery of sight for the blind, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he rolled up the scroll, and he gave it to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. And Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.'" "I tell you the truth," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. And yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath, in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha, the prophet. And yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Lord, I pray that your words will find fertile ground this morning. There will be no need to push through this crowd. Lord, that we would embrace you. We would embrace your message, Lord. We would embrace the change that comes through knowing you, Lord. We'll give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. I noticed some small ones in here today. If you want, you can go right there into the overflow, and they can be loud, and you can still hear me. And so, we got a little project going on in my house. It is revolving around our kitchen table. My wife said the other day, "I'm tired of the kitchen table being sticky." And I had refinished that table several years ago, and the lacquer had begun to break down, and it was sticky all the time. And she said, "I'll tell you what, I'll give you a week. If table's still sticky, I'm going to get a new table." So I immediately began sanding and refinishing that. Lisa is shaking her head. Oh, that's not our house. That's not our table. But it does look kind of like our table. It's not my house. Yeah. I thought it, the table does look pretty good. I searched around for that, but that's not our backyard. Anyway, I sanded it down. I got borrowed Mike's sander, sanded it down. It's all good. And I got this wipe on finish stuff. It's way cool. I'm going, man, I'm just set up, dialed to go. Start wiping that stuff on, and it starts drying. And Lisa comes in and goes, I think that's the same stuff. I'm going, nah, it's going to dry, it's going to be good, it's going to be all good, it's going to be all good. Well, it didn't dry, kept on being sticky. And so I finally had to own up to it, and I had to sand it off again yesterday, and I had to go get some new stain, because now I'm sanding through the finish, and then I had to get some new lacquer stuff to put on there. We're going to put on the new finish today after church. We make a change. Hey, Esperanza, can you go en este cuarto allá?
Gracias.
See, the kingdom of God is a kingdom of change. And it's not a change to what you already had before. It's a change to something new. Jesus brings the message of the kingdom. And it is a message of change, of transformation. We saw in the baptism today where people were brought into the water and raised out, signifying death to your old life and being raised to a new life, a different life. And some of us would have us be baptized and to wash all that old stuff away and then come right back to the same old life that we had, the same old stuff that we had. And what you will find is that your life remains sticky. That your life remains messed up. And that is not a message that we are really comfortable with. See, we like the message of you're doing just fine. Don't you like that message? That's what we tell our kids. Oh, you're doing good. You're doing good in school. Just try what? A little bit harder. You're doing good, but we need just a little bit more. And Jesus comes along and says, you're not doing okay. You're not doing fine. In fact, everything that you're trying to do is not going to work out for you. And he brings that message to this synagogue. And those people are going, what are you talking about? We're in synagogue. It was like church. We're sitting here in church. We're good with God. God's good with us. We have got a little hookup going on here. Are you crazy? And the Lord said, no, you're totally off track. Jesus would confront your whole belief system and say that you need a brand new start in your life. You need to die to your old life and be raised to new life. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of change. Let's take a look at that. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. And the offer of the kingdom sounds good. Man, this is nice. This is fresh. This is new. It's the beginning of Jesus' ministry that we see here. He had done some miracles, and doors were opening for him. They're going, we like this guy. Come on back home. And he preached in their synagogues. He was well received, but the message that he brought was different than what they were accustomed to, because from that time on, Jesus began to preach. In Matthew, it says, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And repent means do a U-turn in your life. Die to that old stuff and put on some new stuff. Put on the new life of our Lord Jesus Christ. You got to do a 180. You see, the message of the kingdom is a message of change. And if you're trying to stay the same, you don't make it into the kingdom. You come into the kingdom and some of the stuff has to fall off the back. Can I get a witness on that? Jesus wants you to be changed. Why? As he says, the kingdom of heaven is near. Bible says, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm right there with you. that Jesus Christ, and the kingdom comes with our Lord. Can I get a witness on that? And so as the kingdom, two or three, I'll tell you what, look at the person next to you, say, we make two. We make two. Come on, you're not even doing that. Kingdom of God means you're gonna recite what the pastor tells you to recite. No, I ain't doing that, man. Come on now. I'll tell you what, you got to get in cold water to get baptized. All kinds of stuff God's going to ask you to do that you're not used to doing. Amen. Why? Because you've got to change. He says, two or three are gathered, I'm right there. See, and we got to realize that because the kingdom of God is near, we should start acting like it. And we should start living like it. Amen? All right. Point B. Kingdom message contains kingdom truths. I mean, it seems kind of plain. The kingdom message contains kingdom truths. And this is what was firing everybody up. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. Now, if you're poor today, you're saying, hey, I like that part, right? I got good news coming at me. Are you guys okay? Am I going too fast? Because you got to get a, I know I got a whole lot of rich people here. I could get a witness on that. Can I get a witness on that, Larry? I need a verbal witness. There you go. Thank you, Larry. I usually get that from Larry. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind. Oh, come on. To release the oppressed. Ah, getting better. All right. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, the year of the Lord's favor was the year of Jubilee. Happened every 50th year. All the debts were canceled. All the slaves were set free. And all land was returned to the original owner. So if you had a bad 50 years, if you had your dad had a bad 50 years, sold the family farm, did all that stuff, every 50th year you got back on track with your resources, with your money, with all that stuff. Some people got so messed up with their money they had to sell themselves into slavery. And on the 50th year, everything went back, and you were debt-free. Doesn't that sound good? Doesn't that sound good? Come on now. He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the tenant, sat down, and the eyes of everybody were fastened on him and said, man, is this happening now? Is this happening for us? See, the message of the kingdom sounds good. The message of the kingdom has a kingdom source. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. There's an anointing upon me to have impact for your life. And that power, that anointing is still available. He passed it out to his disciples. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That is available today. Balthazar was greatly concerned for Thomas. Said, I got to find Thomas. He's got to get baptized. Hallelujah. Why? There's anointing upon him. Anointing upon you to bring a message of good news that is available for you today. Amen? Yeah. He says, you'll be my witnesses in City Heights, in San Diego, all the way up and down into TJ and up into LA County. Not what he says, but he says, we will witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And I'll tell you what. How many of you have been to Jerusalem? How many of you have been to TJ? So you can be a witness in TJ. You can be a witness in LA. You can be a witness in Santee, and you can be a witness on Mission Bay. Why? Because the power of the Spirit of God is available. And the message is what Thomas said. He said, I feel totally different. I don't want to fight anymore. I don't want to cuss anymore. He goes, the only person I got to talk to in my house is my dog, and I'm talking better to my dog. We're glad you're hanging out with us, Thomas. It is a fresh new start. It's good news. It's freedom. It's liberty. It's recovery. It's release. A brand new start. Amen. Kingdom of God is a kingdom of change. Yes. It is so good that this message is so good, we copy it. We got a way to get debt-free. Bankruptcy. I knew a lady, she was planning her bankruptcy. You know how she was planning? She was jacking up every credit card she had. Oh, yeah. I'm going to declare bankruptcy in the fall, so I'm going to buy everything that I can on my credit cards. Now, that is not the approved way to go about your bankruptcy, folks. Lord does not smile upon that. But check it out how it is advertised. Become debt-free. Declare bankruptcy. Now, there's all kinds of people trying to get their credit cards down in the last 5-10 years. One way was to refinance your house and pay off all your credit cards, consolidate your debt. You heard all those ads, right? Yeah, you do that. And the other way, do bankruptcy. Now, what's the problem? The problem is if you don't address the issue of living on your credit cards, of just going and buying whatever you want, I'll put on my credit card. Oh, I'll put on my credit card. Oh, I'll put on my credit card. What happens is after you refinance your house or after you've filed bankruptcy, you will again amass all this wealth on your credit cards and you will be just where you started. You'll be just like I was with my kitchen table. Go through all this work, all these gyrations, and put the same finish on it again. It's like, how stupid is that? See, the kingdom of God is a kingdom of change. It changes into something new. It's not just change to change. How many of you know people just busy changing stuff, and it's just over and over? You know, it's just like a, they're just like turning the mill. You know, it's like just changing. What are you doing? Oh, I just moved, so I got to get new furniture. Well, it's okay now. I'm tired of my furniture, so I'm going to move again. So what? Oh, now I got to move. It's just like over and over and over again. God wants you to change into something different. He says you got to repent. You got to turn around from what you're doing, and you got to do something new. You got to die to that old self and be raised to the new self in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, you guys are catching up with me. That's good. Jesus' offer starts immediately. He says, he began by saying to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Kingdom of God is right now. Change is right now. Question is, will you take the offer? Because simple go, I don't know. Richard was talking about that. I don't know. That's a big change. It's like, you're right, man. You're talking about dying to your old self, dying to your whole old life. Oh, yeah, that's a big change. It's like, well, there's some parts I kind of like. And that's what'll catch you down the road. Remember those we'll work for food signs? Well, I mean, now you see them all over the place, right? Do you remember when they first came out? Do you remember? I remember like 10 years ago, we'll work for food. I believed them. I said, dude, you want to work for food? I got food. I need work. Let's go. I said, and he goes, well, what kind of work? It wasn't this guy. It was just a guy. I said, I don't know, plumbing, you know. I got some digging to do, you know. It's like, I'll be back in an hour. Okay, you be ready to go. I came back. He was not even there. Did you give him any money? No, he didn't do any work. See, it was a lie. He didn't want to work for food. He wanted money. There's another guy, you know, it's like he's out there panhandling. And when I first became a Christian, you know, and I, well, you know, the guy might buy drugs with that money. So I went inside Kmart, or Circle K was right there. I think it was Circle K. And I walked inside. And could have been several of them. Got him a cup of coffee. You know, going to bless the guy. I came out. He had 9 cups of coffee lined up. He didn't want no coffee. He wanted money. He wanted to buy something else. So often we want a rescue. But we do not want to change. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of change. We say, we'll work for food. Lying. Rescue me, Lord. I'll do whatever you want. Sometimes lying. Rescue me, Lord, because I really want to go back to the way I used to be. Save me now. Take my credit card debt away, and I'll be good, I promise, until it gets high again, and then I need you to rescue me one more time. Kingdom of God is a kingdom of change. That's what God's looking for, and we often hesitate at the offer. Ooh, that's a big request. Can I get a witness on that part? They said, all spoke well of him. Oh, look at this guy, look at this guy. They were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. Isn't this Joseph's son? Don't we know this guy? See, they're drawn to the person of Jesus. We get drawn to the truth of the kingdom. But it always comes back to, what does it mean for me? Kingdom of God. What does it mean for me? And we look for reasons for it not to work. We look for reasons to put Jesus back a little bit. We look for reasons to let the kingdom of God just stay at arm's length. Hey, wait a minute, isn't this Joseph's son? Can he really do all this stuff? We look for holes in the offer. And why do we do this? Because when it comes right down to it, we'd rather have our kingdom than God's kingdom. We'd rather have our control than God's control. Jesus talks about it. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. We want to go where we want to go when we want to go there. What's today? Sunday. Friday night. I had it all planned out. I had my dinner planned out. We had the food distribution. By the way, no food distribution tomorrow. It's Labor Day. That'll be closed. Got some veggies. You know, I got some squash. Got some cauliflower. Anybody like cauliflower? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you come to my house. Everybody hates cauliflower in my house. I got some lettuce. You know, and I'm thinking, ooh, I'm going to have me a nice healthy dinner, keep my diabetes under control. And what happened? It got to be like 4:30, 5 o'clock. Lisa was at the beach with the kids and one of Joe's friends and got kind of hungry. Thought I'd just have a little snack. Had some nachos. Not good for diabetes. And so now I'm full. And Lisa calls like at 7 and says, and she's coming, Leanne's coming home. And, you know, I go, why don't you guys just go by the taco shop? Which is not good for me. And Leanne goes, well, what do you want to have? You want to have taco shop or you want to have pizza? Because Joe wanted pizza. I said, go to the taco shop because pizza is really bad for me. And so Leanne comes walking in about, I don't know, 40 minutes later, taco shop. And they had to take Joe's friend home. Back down my taco shop, give her a couple of my rolled tacos, give me a little bit of a burrito. So now I've had my nachos, got my 4 rolled tacos with everything. I got a half of, or a quarter of a bean burrito. And then Lisa and Joe walk in, and they got Pizza Hut pizza. And I ate it too. Why do we do that? Why do I do that? Because my deeds are evil. Don't laugh. I'm talking. In each one of us is a core that does not want to obey God, that wants to have our kingdom rather than his kingdom. And left to ourselves, we will choose to do bad. And it is a battle that must be won every day. Can I get a witness on that? Don't be laughing at my diet. See, Jesus knows what's really going on. He sees your heart. Jesus said to them, surely you will quote the proverb that says, physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we've heard you did in Capernaum. Come on, show us something that we can grab onto. It's like, physician, heal yourself. Come on now. You can't even heal yourself. How do I know that you can heal me? That's the proverb that was going around. Give me something that I can grab on to, Jesus. Do what you did in Capernaum. What did he do in Capernaum? Does not say what he did in Capernaum. But I got to imagine it was pretty awesome. Because Jesus can do some pretty awesome stuff. Amen? You know, he's got no problem with doing the awesome stuff. He sent out 12, gave them power to drive out demons, to heal the sick, raise the dead, preach the message of the kingdom of God, to preach a message of change. They came back and said, this is awesome. He sent out 72. Same power, same message, message of change, message of transformation. God has no problem doing miracles. So what's the problem? Why the hesitancy on Jesus' part? God doesn't jump through hoops, folks. God does what God does. And see, when we got our kingdom going, we really like a God that we can control. We kind of like God on a string. God being our puppet. When I say to me, God is. It's like, well, you know, God's not up there going, oh no, Aaron bugs thinks I should be like this. I better be changing my act. God is God, folks, and he doesn't jump through hoops. Jesus kind of delineates that. God does what God does. And Jesus says, let me tell you about this. Why? Because he knows what's really going on. He knows what's going on in your heart. So, well, if God would do this, then I would follow him. Well, sorry, you know, God is God. He says, I assure you that there were many widows in the time in Israel in Elijah's time. Elijah, great, great prophet. Read about this in 1 Kings like 16, 17, 18. When the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was severe famine throughout the land, yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. You say, why is Jesus bringing this up? Well, it was a display of the power of God. God closed up the heavens. There was no rain for 3.5 years. Now, is that a miracle? Yeah. I mean, Elijah said, hey, no rain for 3.5 years. And guess what? There was no rain for 3.5 years. Now, maybe you get lucky. You know, it's like, well, there was no rain for the last 3.5 years. That was God's doing. Well, you can do that. But it's another thing to say, you know what? It's not going to rain for the next 3.5 years and have God do that. Get the difference in that? No, God has been showing. No. God's going to show us something. God is doing a miracle, and he's judging them. Why? Because King Ahab and Queen Jezebel were worshiping Baal. They said, I'm bringing judgment upon you. There will be no rain. There will be famine in the land. And God sent Elijah. Oops, sorry. God does what God does. And God sent Elijah to this widow in Zarephath who was not even a Jew, not even an Israelite. And a display of his, and God does this, why? As a display of his mercy. He says, I can spare anybody I choose. Jesus comes to them and says, I know you want a miracle, but I'm not about the miracles. I'm about the kingdom of God. I'm about a kingdom that requires change. And they rejected him. All the people in the synagogue were furious. He tells them another story about Elisha and a leper. And they're mad. Why? Because he's not going to come through for them. I'm not going to jump through your hoops. You want God to jump through hoops for you today? God doesn't jump through hoops. God hung on a cross to pay for your sins. Amen. That you could have new life. And as you die to that old life, see, so many of us want God to jump through hoops and save us in our old life. Hey, could you just smooth out some of the rough edges on my old life so that I can just continue on the way I am? And he says, no, that's not what I do. They were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove them out of the town. And we'll do that. We'll drive Jesus right out of our lives. Can I get a witness on that? They took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff. And they couldn't do it. Why? Jesus walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Now, that's a supernatural thing right there. Got a whole crowd, whole town, trying to get away from us. He says, okay, I see where you're at. Boom, I'm going to be on my way. And you know what? You take a look at our country. Our country would push Jesus away. We make room for our enemies. We make room for Muslims that attack our country. Oh, we're going to make peace with them. We need to have outreach with them. But the very people that want to reach out to the Muslims and make peace and do all that kind of stuff, they want nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And why is that? Because when it comes right down to it, the Muslims are no threat. I'll tell you what, I mean, we'll move into Iraq, just bomb that thing down to nothing. Amen. But Jesus will walk right through you. The message of Jesus is a message of change. And you reach out to our Lord Jesus Christ, all of a sudden he puts a claim on your life and he is an incredible threat to you. How? He's a threat to your kingdom. He says, your kingdom can't stand. I'm not going to fix your kingdom so that you can live in it. Kingdom of God is a threat because the kingdom of God is a kingdom of change. Change in the way you live, change in the way you think, change in the way you feel. And it's right here, and it's right now. Are you ready to change from your kingdom to his? Are you ready to make a surrender? Because the kingdom of God is close, and it's right now. Lisa's going to come up and play a song for us. But I'm wondering, is this for you today? Have you been holding on to too much of the past? Talk about the message of Christ, the message of transformation, the message of a new kingdom, message of death and life. And we don't want the death part. We just want the life part. But until you die to yourself, you won't live for him. And so maybe you're here today and you're going, oh, that's what it is. What these guys were talking about in the water baptism tank, about a transformation of from the old life to the new life. Yeah, some of them are saying, I'm grabbing on that new, it's good. Some are going, I'm a little worried. Maybe you're just thinking, kingdom of God for me is right now. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you are in this place. Lord, that you're mighty to save, that your anointing by the Holy Spirit extends now, Lord, through me, Lord, to speak, through every person in this room to hear, Lord, that you still have a message of freedom and of liberty, Lord, of restoration of sight, Lord, of healing, Lord. We just bless you for the healing in Balthazar's life and his body, Lord. The other healing, Thomas, to hear him and to hear the restoration in Timothy's life. And Lord, the work that you do, and maybe you are just here this morning and you are thinking, oh, this is it. This is it. I've been messing around too long. Kingdom of God is a kingdom of change, and the kingdom of God is right here and right now. And the Lord would come to you this morning. He would say, are you ready to receive me? Are you ready to die to your kingdom and take on mine? And I'm not here to embarrass you, but I am here to make an offer of the kingdom of God. And some of you will reject that. Some of you will just say no. No, I can't do that. It's too big of a question today. Too big of a sacrifice for me. But his sacrifice was awesome for you. Death on a cross, his blood shed on Calvary to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And you're here today, and the Lord is just on you like a blanket. And he's saying, my son, my daughter, you've been doing bad stuff. You've been trying to smooth it over, make it look good. You've been trying to put a new shine on it, but it's not good. It's not good for you. It's not going to win for you. And he's saying, I will give you a brand new life. And all I want from you is your old life. Will you make that trade with me today? Would you make that change, an exchange, my new life for your old life?